You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
November 14th, 1993. It's hard to believe that was just a little over 25 years ago. Isn't it weird that 1993 was 25 years ago? Yeah. Isn't it weird to think that here in a couple of years, 1980 was 40 years ago? All right, I'll stop talking. All right, amen. But November 14th, 1993 is a day I'll never forget because that was the day I was baptized in water. And I'll never forget that moment. I remember the experience. I remember the sights. I remember the moment. I'm telling you, it was incredible. Water baptism is incredible. You know, we recently did a series here at Journey Church called The God I Never Knew, wherein we talked about how the full Christian experience, what I mean by that is the whole package to the Christian experience, has within it three of what the Bible calls baptisms for each believer. You see the word baptism a lot in the New Testament, and that word baptism is this word, because how many know the Bible, specifically the New Testament, wasn't written in English, it was written in Greek. This is the Greek word that was written by the authors of the New Testament when they wrote the word baptism, and it's really a word that translates literally immersion. The word means immersion. It means full immersion, to be enveloped fully by. Meaning, there are three immersions, according to Scripture, three unique experiences that God desires and commands for your life as a believer. And we discovered those three baptisms in the series that we did. The three baptisms being these things right here. Number one, salvation. Number two, water. Number three, Holy Spirit, as it correlates to the word baptism. We see that God desires for us to be baptized in salvation. It's actually one of the descriptions of salvation is the baptism of salvation, meaning God wants you to experience the immersion, to be fully immersed by, soaking wet with His forgiveness. How many know what I'm talking about? How many are thankful that God immersed you inside of His forgiveness? Amen. That's a beautiful picture of God's grace. And this baptism right here happens when you have your Romans 10, 9 and 10 moment, which says that if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, in that God sent Him to die for you and raise again for you, that when this scripture, when the forgiveness of God finds its way into the fabric of what you believe and who you are, you experience the baptism of salvation through your invitation for it to come into your life. It's a beautiful thing. And that leads us into this next baptism, which is water, wherein you have the opportunity to display that which it is that happened to you at the moment of salvation where God transformed your life. And then also, there is a baptism in Scripture called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, we spent that series explaining these baptisms, particularly this one right here. And so if you're new here today, I encourage you, jump on our podcast and listen to that series, The God I Never Knew, so you can discover what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, but what we do in the church, I believe, is a great job of talking about this right here, the salvation of the Lord, seeing people come to know the Lord. And I believe that we're doing a better job in the church today, particularly Journey Church, of talking on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I believe what we here at Journey Church need to do a better job of is describing what it means to be water baptized, why God calls us to be water baptized, and what happens when we are water baptized. So today, We're going to talk about that. But can I tell you, we're not only going to talk about it, we're going to witness it. For today, we have four incredible people in this service that are going to be baptized in water today. How many are thankful for that? Amen. In combination with the 13 people that I was told was baptized in the 9 a.m. service. So today we'll see 17 people, 17 names, 17 incredible men and women baptized in water here at Journey Church. And I think that's a phenomenal thing. Can I tell you, the annual national average for baptisms in a church every year is one. The average baptism in a church in America today is one person a year. And I don't say that to say Journey Church is better than those churches. I say that to give us the understanding that we really need to be thankful for that which it is that we get to be part of here at Journey Church. 17 people. Combine that with the near 20 people that were baptized earlier this year. My goodness, we're going to have an opportunity to see around 35 to 40 people baptized here this year at Journey Church. How many know that's pretty awesome right there? Amen. Amen. Baptism is something quite sacred. It's quite sacred and should be regarded as such. Jesus talked a lot about it. The Bible talks about it. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said when wrapping his dialogue up with his disciples before he ascends, he says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, with that understanding, go and make disciples of all nations." In other words, the experience that you've had, the transformation that's taken place on the inside of your heart, go and duplicate that in the hearts of all those you know. And part of that experience, he says, is baptizing them. The definitive context here is water baptism. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded them. And he goes on to say in verse 21, we don't have it for you on the screen, but surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Acts 2:38, right inside the harvest of the Feast of Pentecost, Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized." Again, talking about water baptism, he says, "Every one of you." He didn't say some of you. This is a command for all believers. He said, "In the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins." Now, some people misinterpret this verse to think that you must be baptized in order to be forgiven. But mind you, Peter's not saying in this dialogue, you must be baptized to be forgiven. When he says for the forgiveness of sins, he's speaking in the context of for the reason of the forgiveness of sins. Baptism is this incredible celebration of the incredible forgiveness of God. Somebody say a good amen if you believe his forgiveness is incredible. Amen. And the people responded in verse 41 and says this, "So those who received his word were baptized." So this is the reason I say baptism is sacred, is because it's so scriptural. Anything with this kind of description behind it, and mind you, I'm just sharing a couple of verses, there are many more. Anything with this kind of description behind it in God's word is powerfully unique and should be regarded as such. I believe it's important to also say that baptism is not just sacred, but it's symbolic. I believe it's important that we know that water doesn't save. How many know what I'm saying when I say that? Jesus saves. Can I get an amen from anybody in the house today? The act of baptism symbolically is an act of contextual identification. It's letting the world know around you what has taken place. It's letting the world know around you what God has done inside of you. Baptism, I like to say, is an outside sign of an inside experience. It's proclaiming to your world. It's proclaiming to your community. It's proclaiming to the circles that you're inside of, whether it's your family or your workplace or your neighbor or your friends, that Jesus has done something incredible in my heart, and I want to show it to the world around me regarding all that he's done in my heart and life. In fact, quickly, I want to share with you three things according to the Bible that surround the moment of water baptism in the life of the believer. Because again, I believe here at Journey Church, we need to do a better job of explaining what this is all about. Number one, when you are baptized, it displays that you're being immersed into a new beginning. And this is speaking, of course, to the context of your life. New beginning. Somebody say, new beginning. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, we, talking about you and me, it says, were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Watch me. This is a powerful scripture. Because in the scripture, Paul is relating the act of water baptism to the events of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's relating, he's connecting the events of baptism to the cross and the tomb of Jesus Christ. Christ, after he was crucified, was placed into a tomb where his dead body would lay for 3 days, but how many know it wouldn't stay that way, that he would raise to life again? Now hear me, Paul is saying that baptism shows that we, you and I, were in that tomb with him. In fact, if you really want to dig into it, we were in that tomb before him. And the reason I say that is if you really dig in to the definition of what happened to the spiritual state of humanity as a result of our sin and the sin that we are born into by nature, Ephesians 2 says, we were buried, as for you, he says, you were, the reason, the word were, meaning already, it says, you were dead in your transgressions. You were dead in your sins. Now let me ask you this. Where do you put someone who has died? In the grave, right? In the tomb. You were dead, the Bible says. In your transgressions. In your sins. Meaning, and think about this. The only reason Jesus died wasn't for just the fact that he could die. The only reason he died was so that he could come and get you. So that he could go to the place where you were at, meet you at the state you were in, which was in the grave because of your sin, because of your transgression, the Bible says in verse 2, in which you used to live for when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, talking about Satan, the spirit, talking about Satan, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He says all of us lived there at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. He says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of this wrath. We're in the grave because we deserve to be in that grave, because of what we did, because of what we attached our life to by our own will to separate from God. Friends, this is a cold, hard reality here. This is a cold, hard description in the Bible of where your life was as a result of what we decided to do, living our lives without Christ. And the end of verse 3 says we deserved it. Verse 4, but, come on somebody. How many are glad there's a but inside of here? Amen. I know that sounded weird, but you understand what I'm saying. But, because of his great love for us. How many are thankful for the great love of God? But because of his great love for us, God, somebody say God, who is rich in mercy, made us, watch this because I love this next word, alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions. And he says, y'all don't understand. You see, you didn't do this. This is by grace that this has been done. And it says, and God raised us up with Christ. You know what that means? That means when Christ walked out of that tomb, he took you with him. How many are thankful that he didn't leave you in the grave, but took you out so that you could be raised up with him? And it doesn't stop there. He says, and seated you with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Let me say it this way. And this is the symbolic act of baptism. When you go into the water, it's symbolic of when you were in that grave. And when you come out of the water, it's symbolic of Christ taking you out of that grave too. Let me say it this way. Out of the water equals out of the tomb and into the new. Somebody say a good amen. Come on, out of the water equals out of the tomb and into the new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is there anybody here this morning that's in Christ? He says, the new creation has then come. The old is gone. The new is here. The new is here. Hear me now. Everyone, and specifically our candidates for baptism this morning, the cross of Jesus Christ and the tomb of Jesus Christ was not done so for his sake. The cross and the tomb was done for your sake. He died for you. He rose again so that your life wouldn't stay in that grave, but so that you could experience a brand new beginning. You go into the water to come out of the water. Let me say it again. You go into the water to not stay in the water. You go in to come out. And let me just tell me that, because that reminds me of something that everybody in this room needs to know, that God saved you so that he could raise you. That means that you were made to rise. You weren't made to lie down. That needed to be told to somebody here this morning. Out of the water means out of the tomb. That means don't let the enemy ever tell you that you're defeated. Don't let the enemy ever tell you that just because you're knocked down, that means you're knocked out. Don't let the enemy ever tell you that you've fallen too hard and you've fallen too hard to ever get back up, because with God you always have the ability to rise. Hear me, Journey Church. When somebody looks at your life and when somebody looks at your circumstances, no matter how dark they may be or no matter how grave they may feel, and somebody asks you, man, you are in it pretty bad, you've fallen pretty hard, how are you going to come back from this? Hear me, believer. All your response needs to be is say, this ain't nothing. Do you understand where I used to be? The Bible says I used to be dead, but he brought me back to life. And if he would take me from there, this ain't nothing. I was made to rise. Hear me. He saved you so that he could raise you. You didn't know you came to a Pentecostal church this morning. Amen. Whoo. With God, you've been given a new beginning. Number two, when you're baptized, it displays that you're being immersed into a new family. This speaking in context of the church that he places around you. Let me say it this way. When you're born into a family. When you're born again, you're born into a born-again family. A born-again group of people that God places around your life. You see, this is why we're taking this whole service today and allowing the entirety of this message and really, frankly, the whole service to surround this moment, is because families celebrate new life. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit we were all baptized so as to form one body. That's the church. And it doesn't matter who you are. That's why it says whether you're Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. We're all a part of this family. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter who your daddy is. Doesn't matter who your mom is. Doesn't matter what you've done. We were baptized to be a family and form that family. God places people around you in your new life to help you grow. Meaning when you come out of that water, understand that you're part of a family. We are family. Come on, should I sister sledge it right now or should I just leave it be? Right? You are part of a family. And you are to be part of that family. You're part of a family, meaning you are not to live your faith life out alone. God commands you to express your faith inside of the atmosphere of family. And you're to be part of it. Hear me, being saved isn't the end of what you're called to do. It's the beginning. Once you're saved, you have a responsibility to mature in that faith by connecting with others,
growing with others, and serving with others. Number three, when you're baptized, it displays that you're being immersed not only into a new beginning and a new family, but watch this, a new ending. Your life has a new ending. This speaking, of course, in the context of your eternity. Come on, somebody, how many know your life was going one way, the wrong way, but Jesus came and turned your life around, and now it's going the right way. Can somebody say a good amen? Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Peter is connecting baptism to the word repentance, which literally translates new direction. The word repentance means to turn. That's what it means. It means I was going this way, repent, turn, go this way. 180. That's what he's talking about. And there's a connection here. Man, I'm telling you, we got to understand the reality of where our lives were headed. We were going in a direction headed for destruction, but God, my goodness. You know, I haven't played a video clip to illustrate a message in a while. So I think I'm going to do that right now. Is that all right? Because I believe there's a great clip I just saw. It's one of those Thanksgiving movies that you see every year around this time that I think illustrates somebody going the wrong way in a real powerful way. Take a look at this clip.
Wants to race.
Don't race. That's ridiculous.
All right, come on. Let's go. Let's go.
Put your window down.
He wants something.
He's probably drunk.
You're going the wrong way.
What?
You're going the wrong way.
He says we're going the wrong way.
Oh, he's drunk. How would he know where we're going?
Yeah, how would he know? Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you.
What a moron.
You're going in the wrong direction. You're going to kill somebody.
You're going
the wrong way!
What?
Why? Why?
Come on, somebody. How many know that was you? The way you were going was taking you toward an ending that would lead you to destruction, but Jesus. Come on, somebody say Jesus. Jesus came and turned your life around and set you in a new direction that is heading toward a new ending. And this ending is not one of destruction. Come on, this ending is not one of damnation, but this ending is one of salvation. And this is one that's going to end in perfection, that's going to lead you into the arms of your Savior, where you'll get to be held by the nail-scarred hands of your Savior. How many are thankful for the ending that He gave you as a result of the invitation you gave Him? Because of Jesus, you have a new end to your life's story. Man, how many are thankful for that kind of grace? Because we didn't deserve it, right? Isn't that what we just read in Ephesians 2:3? We were deserving of our wrath. We were deserving of an ending headed toward destruction and damnation. But He created a new ending for you anyways because of His radical, unfathomable love for you, His son, for you, His daughter. And all of this happens
these 3 points. New beginning, new family, new ending. All of this happens only because of Jesus. I think it's important to say that, especially in this day and age we live in, where people preach that there are many ways to God. Hear me, there ain't many ways. The Bible says it's a very narrow one. His name is Jesus. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Ephesians 4:5 says, there is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Wait a minute. I thought you said earlier there were 3 baptisms. The scripture here is talking about the baptism of water and identifying our faith with the one true God. There is only one direction that we can focus our baptism, and that's to him. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Krishna. Jesus. Jesus. Because of his grace, quit trying to make it about anything else. It's about his grace. Amen. Come here, my brother. Would you welcome Daniel Williamson back home? This young man was baptized here at Journey Church 5 years ago this past summer at the age of 15. God's put a call in his heart for ministry, and he's been pursuing it ever since. And I had him over at my house. It was the week before last, wasn't it? Week and a half ago. And we're sitting at our table, and we were just talking life and ministry and seasons and all that stuff. And this guy has a gift through spoken word. And what I mean by that is God just puts things on his hearts to share, and he shares it in great power. And it was in this context of just grace and what it's all about and just surrendering to it. And I just want to ask you, if you would, brother, just share with the church what it is you shared with us. Get ready.
I wrote this when I was in a place where I was really trusting myself. I didn't realize I was trusting myself until God opened my eyes. But it's so easy to trust ourselves where we live in a culture that is so performance-driven. From the time we're little, it's, you know, you sit in a chair, be quiet, keep your hands to yourself, and you can earn a piece of candy or a star, you know? And as we get older, the reward looks different. Like, maybe it's a college degree, maybe it's a high school diploma, maybe it's a job. But it's all about our performance. And there's fine. There's nothing wrong with being independent or going and earning something. But with the gospel, it's actually backwards. We're completely dependent upon what Christ did. And we are completely, we don't earn anything. He already accomplished the work. And so here's what I wrote. Have you ever seen a flock of birds fly by and there's one that just can't keep up with the rest? Or have you ever walked into a church with a smile, but there's really a 2-ton weight on your chest? Or have you ever said Christianity wasn't a performance, but it still feels like a big test? Well, let me say that I'm that bird and I felt these ways, and this is how God changed my view on grace. It was my dry, sandy desert of a place. Everything in me searching for an oasis to replace this purposeless look on my face. And although my heart subconsciously desired a taste of his grace, vultures of apathy and complacency continued to circle my heart's parched space. You see, I would try to live for him, but all I do is sin and sin, and it seems like I'll do good for a little while, then my performance caves in, and I'm stuck in this condemning cycle wondering, when will this end? You see, I praise him in front of people with a big old grin, but behind closed doors, I pierce him with my lifestyle again. And I keeps wondering why he keeps coming back to me, offering me a new place to begin, and he responded with love, John 10:11. Grace in my life was really barter, and his love was just a boat that was chartered, full of good works to his dock while my heart grew harder, his spirit and my soul growing farther and farther, and I just felt like a dead car without a starter. You can't make water sink and you can't make air float. And you can't force a horse to drink and you can't force natural growth. And just like a law of nature, I grab the law of the creator with a pencil and an eraser, mixing things up because when I taste it, man, I don't like its flavor. I'd rather justify my behavior and argue like I'm a law major. I was complacent with my disobedient placement, just making my heart so vacant as I continually disobeyed his command statements, but still internally questioning the tank on his patience. And at my lowest place, those cackling vultures scoff. The pieces are there, Daniel, but you won't reach your potential. And the Lord is trying to change you, but you're too sinful. And there's a passion for Christ, but that depression will keep that kindled. These are just a few of the vultures that I fight on the daily mental. But they were all silenced by a spirit that held my heart so gentle. It was loving and brought conviction and showed me that my heart's condition was itching for a true definition of the crucifixion. And so we laid it out. In order to be cleaned, you must first see you're filthy. And in order to be set free, you must first understand you're guilty. He gives faith to the unfaithful, and he gives healing to the heathen, and he gives promise to the prodigal, and his grace keeps us all breathing. The finished work is completed. We just got to believe it. And then he gave me the gift of faith, and he removed this heart of stone, and he removed my transgressions, and I was faultless before the throne. So I will preach till he returns or calls me home, to always trust in the glorious gospel of Christ alone. So trust in Christ's finished work, friends, not in what you've done, because grace isn't barter. It's a gift from the Son.
What a gift. What a message. Allow this to be something that celebrates something that has already been done for you. Allow this for our four new family members today, their experience to serve to be a reminder to you of something that has already been done in your life. Just let go and let God take you on the journey he puts your feet on the first place, taking you to an ending you couldn't get to by yourself.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.